this evening. Say that was some good preaching I got in on. I was running just a little bit late, but my, that was outstanding. I want to talk to you for a little bit, the burden of my heart. I'll just go ahead and cut to the chase and let you know where I'm headed. The burden of my heart is I see a group of God's people who are lowering the bar, if I can say it that way. And the sad fact of it is it's people that I would say are good people. It's not liberals and whatever group you might put an identity on, that's not what they ought to be, but I see people that I thought or had in my mind was what they ought to be, and they're lowering the bar. And it troubles me. It really doesn't trouble me so much for me, but it troubles me for my grandchildren. It really troubles me for them. I carry a load for the young folks that's coming on, and what they're going to be told is right and what they're going to be told is wrong. And my, it's a sad day in my mind. And so I want to talk to you for a little bit this evening on serving the Lord the devil's way. Oh my, yeah. Serving the Lord the devil's way. I'd like, for my introduction, I'd like to just give you 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I want to get this truth across. It's very important, and it's necessary to do the right thing, but it's just as important to do the right thing the right way. Amen. That's what I want to get across. I think there's a lot of people doing the right thing, but they're doing it the wrong way, but because it's the right thing, they feel good about themselves. And it's a little deceptive because they are involved in the right thing, but they're just not doing it the right way. And so I want to look in 2 Samuel chapter 6 as David started to bring the ark back. I call it a milk cart. I don't know if it was or not, but that's what I call. And I want to show you this little truth, and I know this crowd knows it, but just let me share it with you again. Verse number 1 of chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Benadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new car. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manners of instruments made of fir, wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Now, just shortly before Uzzah had laid his hand upon the ark, God's people were rejoicing. If I can say it this way, they're flying away. They had it in their mind, they're doing the right thing. And it was the right thing. I mean, the ark did need to be moved up to Jerusalem. And everybody's shouting. They feel like everything's going good. But the Lord wasn't as pleased as they thought He was. And the reason was, it wasn't because they were doing the wrong thing, they were doing the right thing, they wasn't doing it the right way. I'm not going to go any farther. They should have been bringing it up on stage with the Levites. That was God's way, and David knew that. And because of that, there was death. There was death. Because of that, there was displeasure by God. Because of that, there was delay and discouragement. You could put just whatever you want to do. You could add whatever you wanted to add to it. But when we do things, even if it's the right thing, the wrong way, there's going to be problems. And so with that in mind, I want us to look at a fella who no doubt was discouraged. I want to look in. I want to really focus in on chapter 10 and verse number 8. That's the verse the Lord really jumped out at me in my studies when I come across this message. And the Bible says this, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? Would you pray with me and for me for just a minute? Father, help me this day. You know my frailties, my inabilities. You know, Father, if you don't help me, it'll just be a big zero. And so I ask you, Lord, to just be glorified. You must increase and I must decrease. If there's anything in this building would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you refrain it for a few minutes? Help us now. Father, we'll just give you the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's what happened in my daily reading. I come to this verse, and we all know Pharaoh's type of the devil, Egypt's type of the world, and we can make those applications. And I looked at that, and it's as if the Holy Spirit said to me, there's the devil telling God's man to go serve God. And that just knocked me down. I guess you all seen it and heard it and thought on it. But there's Pharaoh, a type of the devil, telling Moses, go serve the Lord your God. And I got to thinking about that. Why in the world would Pharaoh tell Moses that? I mean, why would he do that? Well, here's the background. Let me bring you up just a little bit. Moses has come down there and tried to deliver God's children in obedience to the Lord. And can I say up to this point, he's failed. As far as folks looking on, he's failed. Now the Lord, he knew what was going on. He's in control. I understand that. But you and I would say, I guess he had in his mind, he'd go down there and say, hey, the Lord said, let my people go. And maybe have to wrestle around a little bit, but the Lord would let them go. But he failed. In fact, they increased their bondage. Things got worse. I guess Moses felt like a failure. You ever felt like a failure? I look around what everybody else is doing, how much they're prospering, how well their church is doing. Man, it'd be real easy for me to feel like a failure. And there's Moses, he failed. And we could walk through these afflictions, these judgments of God. The Lord turned water to blood, still failed. And even though maybe Moses wouldn't have said it, but in his mind he's thinking, Lord, what's going on? I'm just trying to tell you what I'm seeing in the text. And then we come to the frogs and the lice. And you know, Pharaoh's not even dealing. He's not even giving the man of God, if we could just use an old carnal phrase, the time of day. He's just saying this. He's just saying, they're not going. And then he'll say, yeah, let them go. And then he'll say, no, I've changed my mind. They're not going. And so Moses on this little roller coaster ride, hey, we're going now. And then, no, we're not going. But after the third plague, Pharaoh sees this, Moses is not giving up. Moses is not going to give up. Thank God for some men of God that's not going to give up. I praise God for that. I mean, it may look like they're failing on every hand and coming short. And it may look like maybe they missed God, but they're not giving up. They're staying with it. Thank God for that. I thank God for these old saints that's been in the way for a long time, faced all sorts of adversity, but they've not given up. Thank God for that. And old Pharaoh even has to acknowledge that. Pharaoh says, hey, this fella's a little different. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to let him do what he wants to do, but he's going to do it my way. He's going to do it my way. Notice the verse in chapter 10, verse 8. He said, go serve the Lord your God. But, who are they that shall go with them? Here's the jest of what's coming, getting ready to take place. He's not going to let children go. He said, you can serve God, but you're going to serve Him my way. You're going to serve Him my way. In other words, come down off the wall. Come down a little bit. I know what God said, but here's, if you really want to have success, you're going to do it my way. Isn't that how the world works? I mean, if you want to have success, you've got, Brother John, if you're going to have success here, there's some things you've got to do. That's what the big church will tell you. That's what the worldly crowd will say to you. Oh yeah, I'll let you go. Hey, you want to look like somebody? You want to have freedom? You want to look like a hero? I'll let you be a hero. But, that's where he's at. That's where a lot of folks have been. A lot of good folks. And can I tell you, it was too much for them. They said, okay. Success was so important to outward visible success was so important to them that they just said, okay. And here's what I want to say to you. You'll be tempted to do that. I just like to say to you young folks, you'll be tempted. You'll be tempted. We see three areas that Pharaoh dealt with Moses on. When he saw that he could not keep him from doing the right thing, and that's going the 3 days journey and worshiping or sacrificing or feasting. That uses different words there. He began to attempt to negotiate with him. And I want to look at these. Some of these are the same things we face today. In chapter number 8 and verse number 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God. But then he said this, in the land, in the world. If we view Egypt as a picture of the world, here's what he's saying. You serve God, but you live in the world while you're doing that. Can I say to you what he's attacking is the doctrine of separation. That's really where we're. Can I tell you one? I think one of the greatest downfalls in our land today amongst God's good people is the doctrine of separation. We fail to separate like we ought to. And I understand Jesus ate with sinners, but Jesus was separate from sinners. When he ate with sinners, he had souls on his mind, not fellowship. Not friendship. He was after their soul. That's what he was after. And so the we see here Pharaoh said, hey, just don't separate from us. Stay with us. That's why. And that's what the world's saying. Can I say this? You can't worship, serve, or sacrifice to God unless you separate from the world. That's just how it is. Why would that be a struggle for us? Because it makes us oddballs. That's why I tell my folks, unless you're willing to be an oddball, you're never going to be able to serve the Lord right. That's right. That's right. We live in time. We don't want to be odd. We want to fit in. We want to be like everybody else. And I'll tell you even a greater temptation. We don't want our children to be oddballs. We don't want them to be strange to the world. I want to say to you, if you teach your children to fit into the world, you'll regret it when they reach the teenage years. Amen. That's exactly right. I tell you what I'd do. I'd teach my children to be oddballs while they're young, while they don't care about it. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. That's what the devil wants. You know, separation protects you. That keeps you from all kinds of temptation if you just live a separated life. That's right. Hey, I'll just go ahead and tell you young girls and boys, separate from that ungodly crowd. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not to. That's right. Well, here's what he said. Go ahead and do the right thing. Just don't do it the right way. Don't do it the right way. Just don't separate. You know some funny things that you notice in the Word of God? When the prodigal was ready to get right, he had to leave the far country. He couldn't stay there. I just wonder, you know why? Why not get right and just stay in the fire country and witness to everybody? Because he can't live in the fire country and be right with God. Well, amen. When old Naomi decides she's going to get right with God, she had to leave and go back home to the house of bread. That's right. Why? Why didn't she stay down there? She couldn't do it. God's people are separated people. That's right. My, we could just go home with that little thought. When old Abraham was sideways, he had to go back to Bethel. Had to go back. He couldn't stay there. My, we could look in John 15, John 16, where we're in the world, but not of the world. How the world's going to hate us. And we could read all that. We could read about be not deceived, evil communications, corrupt good manners. That's why separation's important. Hey, here's what a lot of folks think. I can just run with that crowd and it won't affect me. Hey, the devil has you whipped already. That's right. He already has you sideways. Young folk, young girls, listen to me. You cannot run with an ungodly crowd and it not affect your life. Amen. Amen. Amen, boys. It's same on their side. That's how it is. You've got to separate for the glory of God. Now, here's what old Pharaoh said. Just don't separate. Just don't do it. We're friends. And you know what, Moses? You look like a hero to everybody. Think about that. Here he is. He's failed and he's discouraged and the people's upset with him. The life's a little harder. And by here, here's his chance to look like a champion. Like a champion. But thank God he said, thanks but no thanks. Thanks but no thanks. And so Pharaoh sees he can't shake this fella, so he's going to bargain with him. We might use the word compromise if you want to, or whatever word fits you good, but I like that bargaining. The devil's always trying to strike a bargain with you. Let's work up a deal about this thing. And so here he is, and Moses says no. Moses says no. And so he goes on down a little ways, and he said in verse 28 again, here's what he said, and Pharaoh said, I'll let you go. The devil said, I'm going to turn you loose. Man, that's something. By the way, when Moses is negotiating with the devil, he's negotiating not only for himself, but for all those folks he represents. Man of God, I want to tell you something. You better be careful. You start negotiating. You're negotiating for more than just yourself. Mom and Dad, you're negotiating more than just you and yourself. You better wake up. Man, we're in a battle today, and it's getting worse every day. Oh, my, it's more than just you. It's those you love and are to oversee. It's for
pretty serious business Moses is in right now. I'm glad the Lord can trust. So in verse 28, again, Pharaoh atop of the devil says to the man of God, I will let you go. I'll let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Just don't get too far into this thing. Just don't go too far. Isn't that where we're at now? Independent Baptists, we're some kind of fanatics. I've got a sign on our pulpit that says, King James. If it's not King James, it's not Bible. Some of them old charismatics will come in for a funeral or something. They'll get them cell phones up there and be snapping pictures of it. Like it's some kind of freaky thing. That's right. Like we went over the edge and we're crazy and we don't know what we're talking about. We're a bunch of unlearned country bumpkins that don't know what's going on. Hey, can I tell you? We just went too far. That's what the problem is. That's where we're at, you know. We don't want to go too far in this thing. I mean, I believe the Lord told Peter, said, launch out into the deep. I believe that's what he said. I believe it's that spirit old Caleb and Joshua had that they wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, they wholly followed the Lord's while they went to Canaan and nobody else did. We're just a play. God's people's just a play. And I told our church that. I said, we're just playing church. That's sad to me. That's sad to me when good people love the Lord, get knee deep in the world, and don't want out. And they just come to the house of God and play church. Here's what they say, preacher. I just can't seem to slow up. Can I tell you what that is? That's because you don't want to slow up. That's exactly right. Brother John, I don't know what this is doing for your meeting, but it's the burden of my heart today. I'm telling you, we're just playing around while the world's dying and going to hell. All I hear is Obama, Medicare, God's people in my church. Obama, Medicare, he's destroyed our country. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then, one of the things was, then I'll heal their land. Here's what I told them Sunday night. I'm going to tell you the problem, our land's in the mirror. I wish I had a big old mirror here just to... Hey, you know I'm telling you right if you know anything about the Word of God. You know that's so. Hey, don't blame Obama. Don't blame the Democrats or Republicans. I tell you, if you want your land healed and it's sick, blame the children of God. What the Bible says. If I understand it right, that's what it says. That's because we won't go out in the deep. We won't go out in the deep. Think more of our jobs than the work of God. Now here's what you're saying. Well, bless God, we're supposed to work. Sure you are. Sure you are. You're supposed to take care of your family. But when you start loving that job more than you love God, you've got too much love for the job. It ought to be a necessary evil in your life. Something you have to do so you serve God like you ought to. Yeah, amen. Well, how deep are you out in it? How far are you out in it? Just be honest. Just be honest. Do we all not get in our little comfort zone? And we can just operate in that little zone. And man, we look like we're godly. Almost like we've got a halo. Wings on. I mean, we're right there in our little comfort zone and we'll do whatever, but when God says, get out of your comfort zone, oh, I can't do that. I've had them say that to me. Preacher, I can't do that. I can't do that. I said, well, what can you do? And just not focus on what you can't do. Tell me what you can do and let's do that. Amen. Amen. I say launch out in the deep and get in this thing. Push away from the shore a little bit. Pharaoh will tell you, just stay there close. Hey, don't burn that bridge. You may need to go back one of these days. Well, that's how he does. He's bargaining God's people, and they're signing on dotted lines. What's happening? Many cases. That's what's happened down our way. I know that. Oh my. Well, let me give you a couple more. We saw the carnality there. We saw consecration. We're going to see the children. Chapter 10, verse 8. Notice what he says. And he said unto them, verse 10, we'll look at 10 and 10. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before them. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that did ye desire. They were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Keep in mind now, Moses appears to be a failure up to this point. He said big things. God sent me down here to deliver y'all. Thought them elders, you know, we're going out of here. And it's all exciting, but now everything's going south. Now Pharaoh's beginning to bargain. And he bargained on that consecration. I just challenge you in the area of your consecration. I challenge myself. I want to tell you, I had to preach to me before I preached to anybody else. I'm telling you. You know what the devil tells me all the time about my preaching? Be careful, they're babes. You know, that went on for a long time. And then I noticed over in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul called them babes, and he preached them under the pew after that. And I started thinking, them ain't the same babes I'm thinking about. I mean, that's what I started thinking. I started thinking, man, if that's babes and I'm letting my people down, I need to pick up the pace a little bit. You know what I think? I think the devil got me to compromise. He slipped one in on me. He was telling me you can't ram a steak down a baby's throat, but you can sure preach them the truth, can't you? They ought to be able to handle the truth of the Word of God. And if they can't eat anything, at least chew on it for a little while. Or they spit it out. That's right. Well, we come to this little third bargaining chip, whatever you want to say. And here's what he said. Forget about that generation coming along. That's what a lot of us have done. We forgot about the young folks. We're supposed to teach. I've got the scriptures there. I don't know if we need to turn or not, but many would if they could, and maybe some do. They ignore the young folks like they're not part of this thing. I want to say that's a sad tragedy. That's a sad tragedy. We only need to look at Jeremiah. We only need to look at little Samuel. And I know their work was limited, and I know any true man of God would be careful what and how he involved them in the work of God. I understand that, but they need a part. Amen. They need a part. That's right. Can I tell you? What do you want them to do? Grow up and get grown? Be 20-something years old, never done nothing in the house of God, and then expect them to get up and take a part in the house? Something's wrong with that thinking. Can I tell you that? Something's wrong with it. These young folk need a part. I try to always see to have a little part at our place of some kind. Try to. I could go up there and read you about the Lord talking to Abraham, or talking about Abraham, said, I know he's going to teach his children. That's what the Bible says. That pleased the Lord. Hey, that was a positive. That wasn't a negative. That was a positive. My, we could. Hey, did you know God's children, the little children's always been under attack? What was they doing when Moses was born? What about when old Nebuchadnezzar came in and carried Daniel and that bunch off? He got young folks. In Jesus' day, 2 years and under. I'm going to tell you, the devil wants the young folk. Hey, I want to tell you, Mom, Dad, son, there's a target on your children's back. You go ahead and ignore it. Let them play in the world, dabble in the world, and be whatever you want them to be and live your life and your dreams through them and rear back and think you've been a good parent. I want to tell you, friend, you missed the mark. You missed the mark. Oh, my. My. We need to bring our children home. Some way or another, we need to bring our children home. Make them part. If you don't want them, the devil does. That's right. Well, here's what he said. Just leave your children. Just leave your children. And then lastly, he comes to him and he says in chapter 10, verse 24, he said, just leave you. Leave your assets, cash, if you want to keep your alliteration. Just leave all your valuables. Don't give. Can I say it this way? Don't give to that special offer. They just wasted anyways. Them missionaries, Faith Farmers, giving, are you kidding? Man, they're on a vacation. That's the devil. He's bargaining with you. And surely you believe in tithing. Surely you believe that. Hope you do. But I'm going to tell you, God expects you to give. I'll tell you why you won't give. You want me to tell you why he doesn't have your pocketbook? He doesn't have your heart. Here's my burden, This morning I see good, this evening I see good people who bargain with the devil, still doing the right things, still coming to church, still going through the motions, still singing in the choir, still shaking my hand, telling me how good a job preaching I did, and saying all the right things, looking the right way, but they bargained out. And they're doing right, but they're doing it the devil's way. They're not sold out. I pray for our young married couples. That is a specific burden on my heart. Maybe 25 to 45 year olds got young children. I just pray God will help them find His perfect will for their life. That's my prayer for them. They come to church. They'll teach a Sunday school class if you want them to. They sing in the choir. But here's what I know. Some of them's not sold out. They're not sold out. They're playing. They think their pastor don't know that. But I know they're playing. It makes me sad because they got little children that's learning how to play just like they do. Makes me so sad. And then the battles I'm fighting now, when I'm gone and this generation's gone and them children come on, some poor pastor's got to fight them same battles because they would not sell out. Here's what I'm saying. Don't bargain with the devil. Be a Moses. The decisions you make's not just going to affect your life. It's going to affect a multitude of people. It's going to affect a multitude of people. And it's serious. It's dead serious business. Souls are at stake. The lives of those precious children, of those parents. And they're good parents. They're good parents. They're saved parents. And they provide for their children. They dress them nice. They're not sold out. And it's a burden. It's a burden of my heart. And they're playing right into the devil's hands, doing what they're supposed to do. But doing it the devil's way. Let's do right. Let's do right. Let's do the right things, but let's do them the right way. I might say, let's live godly. Let's do the work of God, but let's do it God's way.
And if we will, we won't, we may not, it may be a slower word. What happened when Moses said no? It took much longer for the word to be accomplished. It was a slower word. Moses wasn't exalted. But the precious, our precious God was. I mean, He got the credit when they passed through on that passage. That lamb got the credit on that night. Hey, it wasn't Moses now. It was God getting the glory. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want God to be uplifted, manifested, exalted, built up? Isn't that what we want? Ain't that what we want right here? Do we want to look big? Do we want to look like somebody? Or do we want God to be uplifted? Oh, surely this is about God tonight. Surely it is. We need Him. We need Him to help us. Was Moses perfect? No. But he wouldn't sell out. He wouldn't bargain down. He stayed true. You say, well, there's differences of administrations. I agree with that. But when your way of administering the work of God goes against the Word of God, you're wrong. Amen. Amen. Well, that's my little thought. I'm troubled for our independent Baptist group for what I see. And those that look like champions many times, I'm fearful they might have bargained down. I'm fearful of that. I know it's not the case every time. If you're here and you've got a big work, you're doing a great, God bless you. I'm all for you. Anything for the glory of God. But a lot of it, they've had to bargain out to get where they're at today. Let's be true to Him. True to Him. God bless you.